This is Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Hello and welcome to Sports Talk 870. I'm your host, Earl Robinson, and I'll be with you until 2 o'clock discussing sports with you. So just give us a call at 355-9527 or toll free 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Glad to be with you. We come your way each and every day, Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock, right here on WKAR. And we're going to start out talking NBA basketball. We haven't had a chance to talk much yet NBA lately, and so we're going to start out chatting NBA today, chatting about the Detroit Pistons. And we'll do that with Vince Ellis, and then we'll talk a little bit of health and physical fitness with our friend Steve Morgan. So right now, we'll talk a little health and physical fitness and a bit of NBA, and then we'll move on. So give us a call. Talk sports with us right here on AM 870 WKAR. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on WKAR. And we'll hear from some other things going on. A lot of basketball games last night. DeWitt won a nail-biter over Okemos, 56-54. So let's bring in our guest today. And we've got our good friend Vince Ellis on. And let's bring in Vince. Vince, how you doing, buddy?
How's it going, Earl?
Hey, doing good, my man. Haven't talked to you in a while since you've won another national championship. I called up Vince today and said, will you let someone else win one? And he said no. He wants to win them all.
Why do you want to share national championships? You know, 3 out of 4. I mean, I don't want anybody else to win one. I want to win a championship every first Monday in January. I expect Alabama to be raising that crystal ball, okay? It's 3 out of 4 years, you know, and I have a right to expect that. Don't you think after that?
Yeah, but that can be considered a little greedy, can't it?
Y'all got to step y'all game up. Y'all
got to
build a better mousetrap.
Well, we'll try to. I mean, a lot of my buddies saying, you know, Alabama's the best, no doubt. The SEC is the best. And so, therefore, you're right. It's what everybody says. We got to build a better mousetrap. Hopefully, one day we'll be able to compete with the SEC. I don't see that happening very much, in all honesty, because
we might be gone by then, Earl.
Yeah, because you just produce too many good players there.
Just strength, power, speed. It was a truly impressive display. I thought Notre Dame would show up better than that.
I did too.
They would be able to at least slow us down some, but it was just, I kind of expected what happened to Notre Dame's offense to happen, but I was really stunned how easily Alabama moved the ball.
Yeah, I was too. I was really surprised at that, but hey, they won another one, and it looks like you've got a good chance to win another one next year.
Need a little luck to fall your way, but, you know, when only 9 seniors, we'll have a few defections to the pros. We'll be knocking on the door again next year. It'll be interesting, though, the second weekend of the season, we have to travel to Texas A&M, so that game will be pretty interesting.
Yeah, that'll be an interesting game. I mean, they were a surprise being the first year in the SEC and to win as far as they did. That was a big surprise, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I do think this is not Alabama leading from coming out. I do think if they played again, Alabama would beat them comfortably. They had a good game plan. Alabama probably was a little mostly tired, you know, and think about it, you know, as bad as Alabama played that day, McCarron was picked off in the end zone, and Alabama would have won that game. So, you know, but hey, it is what it is. But hey, team was able to recover from that loss, keep it together, took advantage of a break or two, won a national championship. Yeah, hey, it never gets old.
Yeah, well, congratulations again. I know you won another one, and you'll be able to rip me for another year.
Anyway, I'm quite sure your readers, your listeners, rather, hear about the Pistons. But again, I might be wrong about that. I guess East Lansing is a college town, so they might would rather talk about college football. So, but my expertise is in the area of the Pistons.
Yeah, and we have a lot of Pistons fans here, that's for sure. And so let's talk about them. And what I guess my first question was, what kind of team do you think they'll be this year?
That's a good question. Can I be blunt here?
Sure.
I don't know. The thing about it is, you could probably say that a reason for their poor start, even though the coach, if you try to ask him this, Coach Frank this, he'll dismiss you out of hand. But a main factor in their slow start was the schedule. Six of the first eight on the road, the six-game West Coast trip right off the bat. The first eight games, two games against Oklahoma City. The Lakers were in there early, and that's before the Lakers really they've kind of really struggled of late, but they were kind of okay then. And it was a road game. Young team trying to learn how to win on the road still. So I was not surprised that they got out to the slow start. And also, for a while there, they played by far more games than anybody else. So they didn't even have a whole lot of days to practice. They were tired, even though they wouldn't admit it. But sure enough, breaking the schedule, things eased up a little bit, got some more home games in there. They started playing better since that 0-8 start. They are 12-14. Think about it, they would be 500 if they hadn't blew that game against the Bobcats Sunday, which simply was the case, I believe, of, you know, team that won four games in a row started feeling, oh, we're pretty good. And next thing you know, you're playing the Bobcats, a team that's not very good, you're probably not quite as focused as you had been. And next thing you know, in this league, you're going to get beat, especially when you're pitching. You have no margin of error really at all. You need to be focused at all to even beat anybody. So what happened is they've got this record, and I still a hard time figuring out exactly what they are, because the schedule has been a major part in their failures and their success. So who knows? I could tell you, I really don't know. I don't know. I predicted a team that would be close to challenging for a playoff spot but would fall short, and it appears they're probably on that path.
Yes, I mean, when I look at the Pistons, I see Greg Monroe, who's steadily improving, becoming a pretty good player. And Drummond, for a seven-footer, he's really coming on fast. He could be a very good player, maybe even by the end of the year. But the rest of them, you know, they're so up and down, and that's the thing. Do you see that as well? So many players up and down. They just don't have enough many players that play consistently from night in to night out.
The problem is their most consistent players aren't the guys that need to be their most consistent players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one of their most consistent players is probably Tayshaun Prince.
Yeah.
If Tayshaun Prince is one of your one or two or three best players, your team is probably not very good. But if Tayshaun Prince is like your fifth best player, you might have a good team.
Yeah.
And right now, Tayshaun Prince, Jason Maxill, those guys are probably their most consistent players. But they need people like Greg Monroe, Brandon Knight, Andre Drummond, the younger guys, especially the guys who you know are going to be part of the future. You need them to be the most consistent players on the team. And that's a lot of that growing pains. But then again, there's no guarantee these guys are going to be any better than they are now, because that's always – you have to watch it to see how time goes and stuff, to see if whether guys can live up to their potential or not. You think they will, but you never know until they actually do it.
Yes, and that's the thing with Detroit. I mean, we've talked for years about their potential, and they're again another team with a lot of potential. But in the National Basketball League, I was going to ask you, how much do you think the scheduling and how they schedule games plays in a factor for a team like the Pistons when you're not one of the really good teams? Are you just saddled with an okay or mediocre schedule?
Well, it's not about whether the schedule's okay or mediocre. It's about whether just the schedule's what it is. But, you know, if you're playing a lot of games with not a whole lot of practice time, a young team is probably not going to thrive in that kind of environment. If they're going through a stretch where they're getting regular practice, normal rest, you know, a young team probably going to play better. As I said earlier, I think their record is a product of their schedule. when the schedule wasn't very good for them, their record wasn't very good. When the schedule eased up and probably fewer games than normal. I mean, right now they're on a four-day break. So they're probably going to be okay when they play, finally hit the floor again against the Bucks at Milwaukee on Friday night. They'll probably be solid because they've been off for 4 days. So they have a lot of energy and all that stuff. But once when the schedule's even, when it's kind of being normal, that's when we got to wait to see what they truly are. The schedule has made, I think, it's played a major role in what in their failures and in their successes this year.
Okay. What, were you surprised that Scott Skiles was fired? I was a little bit surprised. How surprised were you when Skiles was let go?
I'm not surprised. Whenever a guy's in the last year of his contract, mm-hmm. and there's no extension coming, or they were having trouble getting an extension, you can kind of see that coming. David Aldridge wrote a piece maybe about 2 weeks ago that kind of like pretty much foreshadowed what was about to happen, and sure enough, then it happened later on this week. So I really wasn't surprised at all.
Yeah, you know, as you know, Skiles is a Michigan State guy. We mm-hmm. thought that he could hang on, but he had a pretty good run. And that's the thing. If you're not coaching one of the better teams in the league, you're really just about struggling. I mean, everybody who has a job in the NBA, know their job is they're going to get fired sooner or later because there are only really four or five good teams and a bunch of mediocre teams.
Yeah, even if you do a good job, and say Mike Woods in Atlanta.
Yeah.
You know, Atlanta pretty much their ceiling was stuck around the playoffs. You know what, eventually that's about 5-6 years. Let's move on to another direction. And you know what? They made that move to Mike Woods, and Atlanta Hawks are the exact same team. They're a team that could either lose, they're gonna make the playoffs, mm-hmm. win somewhere between 45-50 games, and they're gonna get beat either in the first or second round. That's what Atlanta is. That's what they always are going to be. but you know, you can do that for a while. You eventually gonna get fired because eventually, I guess the owner just gets tired of looking at you.
Sure. Yeah. Exactly, and that's the thing. When you look at it like that, you just wonder what does it take to get to the next level. I mean, yes, you need at least three good players like Miami has, but it takes a lot to get to go from being just a mediocre team or average team to being a very good team, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, you gotta be a little lucky. The Pistons hope, you know, in the Pistons' case, you know, they hope that maybe Andre Drummond, Greg Monroe, and Brendan Knight can form the nucleus of a team that can become a contender. Obviously, they probably need some more pieces there, but obviously the hope is and the plan is that those three guys can be among their top players and then get to the point where they can actually contend. So,
yeah, so hopefully the Pistons, and I guess I'll be a little bit on the optimistic side and say, hey, just stick with them for a while longer. Hopefully they'll get better because they are. They're a good young team. They've got a lot of good young players, maybe not enough good young players, but it looks like they're headed in the right direction.
I would say that. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs this year, but I think they'll probably be set up to make the playoffs next year.
Okay. Hey, Vince, always good pleasure talking with you. You know, we'll talk again sometime, and we'll try to get you on again when they have a few days off. We know they don't have many days off like where they have 3 or 4 days off, do they?
No, they don't. They're kind of a rarity.
Yep. Okay, Vince. Well, hey, it's good talking to you, my friend, and we'll talk again sometime, buddy.
Okay, Earl, and remember, roll tide.
Okay. Thanks, Vince. And that's Vince Ellis, rolling tide. He is a big Alabama grad and talks big about Alabama. Well, right now, let's talk a little bit of physical fitness and the guy who knows a little bit about that Alabama game since he sit and watched it and watched another humiliation as Notre Dame got pummeled by Alabama. So let's bring in Steve Morgan. Steve, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. Man, I like that word pummel. I just want to make sure that it always applies to my opponent. That's all.
yeah, well, they did get pummeled. And
oh, the day when the green and white will be on TV showing out like that, I cannot wait to see it.
Well, you might have a few more years to wait for it.
Easy now, easy now. we got some technicians out here. We're working on it.
Yeah, we've got some good players, and just don't know how long it's going to take them to develop. But yeah, we do have some good players in the program. That's for sure.
You bet. But they really look good. The size differences and whatnot, and you know, just the basic changes in the game that have been brought on by the significant increases in speed, agility, strength, recovery, so on and so forth. You know, it's just, it's amazing to see where the game is, where these guys are taking this game.
Okay. Well, first off, let's take a little break here. Stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870 WKAR.
New congressmen and women are settling into their offices on Capitol Hill while President Obama takes advantage of the momentary peace in Washington to announce his new cabinet choices. I'm Ari Shapiro. Political junkie Ken Rudin returns, plus we'll mark what would have been Richard Nixon's 100th birthday. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's Talk of the Nation coming up today at 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Thanks for joining us today. Mostly sunny this afternoon with highs in the upper 30s. Mostly clear tonight, lows in the mid-20s. A mostly sunny day on Thursday until midday, then becoming partly sunny with highs in the lower 40s. Then some periods of rain until midday Friday, then a chance of light drizzle, highs in the lower 50s.
And give us a call. Our lines are open, 355-9527. Or toll free, 877-9527-870. Our email address is sportstalk@wkar.org. Steve, when you called me today, one thing I wanted to talk to you about, I mentioned to you, Zumba. So many women are really going into Zumba and getting Zumba and just getting into that exercise. So what is it about Zumba? Why are so many people taking up Zumba?
Well, I know for a fact, having been a group fitness director and having been a director of a major club with 8,000 members, we see this type of push early in the year, first and foremost. But Zumba has its roots long before the New Year craze. Mm-hmm. And see, I really want to make people aware of that. There's a dance background in Zumba. There's that whole thing of coordination, where you can practice and you can get better. The more classes you go to, the more comfortable you become, the more entwined into your group and your support fitness group you get. And people love it. And depending on the instructor and how devoted they are to it and what their actual background is, it can be quite challenging as well as rewarding as the choreography and the sweat begins to roll and people are yelling and having a good time and music's playing. Don't forget the music now.
Yeah, that's true.
And music is always at the bottom or at the core, I should say, of group fitness classes, and it always has been and always will be. And whether it's a yoga class and they play tranquil, soothing music, or it's a hip hop class and they got LL Cool J going on, music is always going to be a part of your fitness program. And iPods and iPeople and companies, Motorola and whatnot, making the smaller, easily the Walkmans, the headsets, and these types of things where you can take your music with you, transport your music. And that's taking me right into the fitness thing. And that's find yourself a support group. And that's Zumba. I mean, if this is something that you really want to get started with in the new year, then Zumba is one of the top, I would say, top three activities to start, whether you have a dance background or not. So I commend those that are already in it. It's held at community churches, community centers, health and fitness facilities. Just about everywhere where there's an open space, somebody will Zumba.
Now, what about people that are... like me, who don't dance very well, if at all.
Well, how about this, Earl? People that are not very flexible, should they not go to yoga?
I guess they could give it a shot.
Sure. Thank you.
I don't know if they'll get much out of it, but they should give it a shot.
Right. You know, I mean, just because you have something that you're not good at, that's what fitness and lifelong wellness is all about.
Mm-hmm.
It's about getting out and trying some things that are, I mean, you don't want to all of a sudden, you know, take on Everest next week. You know, I mean, that's not what it's about. It's about getting over fears and certain inadequacies or things that you haven't been good at. You know, that's what fitness can be used as a vehicle to help people get over. At the same time, you're getting in better shape.
And that's good. We all want to get in better shape. And, you know, we keep hearing all these things on TV, all the states that are in good shape and the states that aren't. I mean, they say Vermont is the number one state. The first thing that comes to mind when I hear that Vermont is the number one state in the country, I say, nobody lives in Vermont.
Well, I mean, Vermont, you know, they're an outdoor conscious state with the skiing and the hiking and the, you know, the trail riding. And they got some great mountain biking up there and I forget what you call it, tree watching. There's a name for that, and I'm sorry, but I can't remember it. But when you have the botanists and whatnot, I mean, it's just a wonderful state. And so is Michigan, for that matter. And we talk about it all the time.
Yeah.
And you have guests on the show. You know, that we just don't get out and enjoy the weather. And speaking of which, we have great weather today.
That's true.
You know, that brings me to, you know, getting out today and once again getting on a nice little walk at lunch. And for some people, taking a late lunch, the wind is breezy, but wind breezy, walk easy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wind breezy, walk easy. You know, we say the same thing when you cycle, when you're riding your bike. When it's breezy, the wind will provide you a little extra resistance. Just pedal easy. Select the gear that you don't strain and stress too much. You also, Earl, we got that river trail.
Right.
Okay. The snow is clearing, at least on cement. It's able to be, you know, traversed. So I would suggest people getting out over the next couple of days, in particular Friday and Saturday. It looks good. And get that New Year's resolution started outside.
Yes, because that's one reason why we called to talk about getting people started on the New Year's resolution. We have so many people that want to get started, and hopefully that we really want them to stay with it, because as we know, a lot of people get started for the first 2 or 3 weeks, maybe even a month or so, and then they start fading away and they start going back to doing what they used to do.
Well, and people want to know, you know, how do they succeed in the resolution? You know, how do they succeed in this quest every year that they seem to not be able to get to that that pinnacle? And I kind of let the cat out of the bag on number two here, but the rule number one is come up with one specific fitness resolution. Quit trying to bundle five things into one goal. Choose one. For example, If it's going to Zumba twice a week, you can ride your bike the other 3 or 4 days at home, but your main goal for the next 6 weeks is to make that Zumba class. So if something comes up and and you have to balance on the teeter totter, you got to go to Zumba. That's your resolution. You follow me? And a lot of people don't want to prioritize resolutions like they do other things in their lives. They act like they should handle them differently.
Yeah, I know a lot of people. They put exercise is at the back burner. They don't. It's not one of the things that you would put at the forefront of a burner of something that you've got to do. You always make it to one of those things that you got to do near the end of the day, or just something that you try to get in, but it's not really a priority.
Absolutely, and you just have to make it a priority. And these little guidelines that we go through every year, I know that they help some people that are listening. So I want to get back to number three. Participate in a sport that you like. And this, it can be, once again, I'm going to put two, which is find yourself a fitness support group, and three, do a sport that you like together. Because they're both selling the same thing, which is you need other people to be involved in your success. And if you enlist yourself in a after work sport, such as, you know, volleyball, or if we were springtime, it would be golf, or wintertime bowling for some, ping pong leagues, which are very competitive, by the way, and I like. I got into that when I was in Hong Kong. That was really intense, along with Tai Chi. So, you know, something of that nature where you have other people counting on you being there. They help to hold you accountable in actually achieving your own goal or your own resolution for the year.
Okay. Hey, we got a caller. We got a caller with a question for you. It says, caller is riding stationary bike 30 minutes a day. He has heard of interval training on stationary bikes. Are there advantages and disadvantages of interval training?
Yeah, the advantages to interval training are many. They break up the mundaneness of riding several miles every single day at the same pace at the same time. They also provide a more intense workout, and you thus, you know, causing you to burn more calories and make the workout a little bit more advantageous to weight loss goals for those individuals that are counting calories. It helps to alleviate injury by increasing the intensity. The resistance will change and vary, thus recruiting more muscle fiber for that particular given activity. So those top three reasons are why I like to, you know, vary the intensity and use interval training as much as possible. But that being said, it's not the first thing that you're going to do. You're not going to ride 1 week and the very next week you need to get into some interval training just by, you know, adjusting the levels on your own. That's not something I would do. Interval training should come after you have a substantial aerobic base. And that way it'll be well-founded and you'll be able to get something out of it.
Yes, I mean, I know every year we talk about doing more weight training and get people involved in weights. And I don't know how much is that working. Do you see people getting involved in weight training, or is that something that's slacking off?
I do, Earl. I hear about it a great deal. Whether it's CrossFit, whether it's more home gyms people are picking up. I speak to owners of different used fitness gym companies and whatnot, and I hear it all the time that the home gym business is on the rise, and we predicted that based off of the other predictions that we had at the end of the year of 2012, is that home gym and doing things basically at the convenience of your own schedule is going to be a little bit more popular in 2013 than it was even in 2010 and 2011-12.
So hopefully the people will continue to work with their training, with their lifting, and also, like you said, doing interval training and things like that. People need just to – would you say it's just one of those things that people really need to, a variety of working out, just not getting to our habit of doing the same things each and every day?
Well, you know, it's it's a double-edged sword, really, because you have exercise in and of itself is habit forming, and anything that you're going to get good at is also you need to practice with some regularity. So to say exercise and the mundaneness of exercise is a negative thing is really, it's not telling the whole truth. Out of that compliance, out of that mundaneness and that regularity comes something special, and that's called fitness. So, you know, you have to endure some of the rigmarole, so to speak, in the first 4 to 6 weeks and remain compliant with a program in order to get to the fruits, you know, and see what it actually tastes like to run a 5K at your best time. You're going to have to go through some hassles to do that. So, I mean, you know, it's a double-edged sword. You know, you have to comply. But that's the compliance that makes the mundaneness set in that makes you sometimes want to quit.
Well, I had a question for you because I don't know how you'll answer this one, if you'll answer it at all. But let's talk women's basketball. The women's basketball team is doing very well, as you know. You know, what's going on? I mean, they've had a lot of injuries they suffered, but they seem to be less players. They seem to be playing a lot better together. Is it just the fact that they've got a lot of good young players who don't have a big rotation that's working well for them?
Well, I'll have a little fun with this one. Just through, 21 years, 22 years of doing this, and being a part of many different teams in a variety of different sports and winning championships in different sports, and being fortunate enough to be a part of that, sometimes we end up cutting the fat.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Sometimes you're better off, especially in golf, sometimes you're better off with, you play five and you count four. Sometimes you're better off when that fifth guy doesn't show up.
Yeah.
I'm just having fun with it now because I love the girls, Clarissa, and, and Annalise, Annalise is a math girl. And, we've talked about that with a number of young athletes and old athletes and stuff throughout the years and on Stanley Cup winning teams. Sometimes, those certain people, they were messing up the chemistry.
Yeah.
And we joke about it with teams, but at the same time, we're kind of serious because it's always playing out. We only revisit these things when the team, when the season's going well, and we're down to four or five people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you can call it what you want, but then at the same time, it is what it is. And the girls are responding well. The coaching staff's doing well with what they got, and they're playing with a lot of heart, and they're playing like true Spartans.
I know for many years, a lot of it of the attention is placed on the coaches and how the coaches coach them. But a lot of it has to be put on the players, though, doesn't it? How they work out, how they carry themselves. How much of it do you say goes on the players, and how much goes on the coaches?
Wow, Earl. You could ask. You have some tremendous guests on the show, and you can pose that question to all of them and see what they think. But I'll if I had to put it into a percentage, 80% is going to lie with the player, mm-hmm. at least, if
yeah,
not more.
They got to work out.
You have got to train. You have
yes,
got
you
to
do.
Be prepared to not be dominated. Mm-hmm. You have got to get into a place, and then your coach gives you the ammunition and the strategy some of the other skill sets and some of the mindset necessary through his experience or her experience to prepare you for battle, the little extra bit that you need. But to just use Alabama as an immediate example, Nick Saban isn't out there with Lacey telling him to spin right. and then drop his shoulder and run that guy over into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's just telling him to get to the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? He's telling him that off of this off-play tackle, off this off-tackle play here, it's designed to go to the end zone. How you get there is up to you.
Yeah.
Okay?
Uh-huh.
I know I laugh a lot about that stuff, but it's because I'm having deja vu of prior conversations that I've had with people about the same subject. You have got to strength and conditioning. If you didn't see that game and you don't understand the significance of strength and conditioning, then you really missed something because you could have got it all answered in that night. And it reminded me of when we played Alabama.
Yes.
When they just I know a lot of Spartan fans don't want to go there, but when we got manhandled.
Yes, we did.
It's just a different type of strength and conditioning program because the SEC demands it. If you do not prepare your guys, like Coach Saban was saying, we got 48 hours to enjoy and we go back to work. If you do not start at that point in time with healing and post-recovery testing and workouts, then you're not serious and you're not going to win.
That is something, yeah, because players, everybody has to go through their like you say, the post-game ritual and preparing for next year and doing all those things. And it should help the players. How much do you think that helps the players? Or does that the main thing that they have to do is do all this postseason workout? After the game, they can't just take off the uniform and then come back in a week or two.
Yeah, but that's just it. This is what you do. Why would you want to? Why would you not want to go train? See what I'm saying? They don't have this. This is what your strength coach breeds into you. This is why people who don't give the credence to strength and condition, they don't understand what it means to accomplish reps and sets at 350 and 400 and superset patterns and at 90-degree heat in the middle of the summer when nobody else, when other people are just sleeping. They don't understand what that builds in terms of your mindset, that you can accomplish anything. And all then the coach has to do, the final coach has to do, is tell you what you need to accomplish. You will accomplish it because you've already accomplished so much more by going through what we've just finished going through.
That's so
true. And
the
people who don't understand that are the ones that are losing. And they're going to continue to lose because the ones that are winning understand this. And they do it every day. It's not about going to practice, Earl. It's about going to hang out with your friends and do what all of you like-minded individuals like to do.
Oh, so true, so true. And hopefully Michigan State will turn it around and they'll become hopefully one of the upper echelons teams in the Big Ten again. We saw it for 2 years, and now everyone is hoping that they can get those 2 years back that they had 2 11-win seasons. But
absolutely.
That's just tough to do, though, isn't it?
Oh, it's absolutely. You know, and I think on ESPN First Take, they were talking about, Skip Bayless said, it's not the players. Everybody keeps talking about it, but this is the seventh year in a row. Mm-hmm. So if you had a good crop of kids for 4 years, now what?
Yeah.
So now we're in the second crop, and we're still getting the same results.
Yeah. That's
so
true.
Stop saying it's the kids. Mm-hmm. It's the system. It's the system which they're building there. It's the level of competition that they create as coaches off the field, the expectations. I mean, they just got it right in the SEC when it comes to that. They really got it right on the competitive scale. But we got to come back to the resolutions, Earl.
Mm-hmm.
Number four, after do a sport that you like,
yes.
Number four is be aware of the intensity of your exercise. You don't want to start out too fast.
Right?
We've talked about this before. And then you become demotivated, you get tired, you're overwhelmed, you're sore, and you're definitely not in the mood for another workout anytime soon. So take it easy during the initial phase of your exercise routines and then try to stop exercising before you're completely exhausted. That's if you do not want to come into a professional place and get tested, which I would encourage as a side note, as a sidebar to everyone listening. And I do it every year, try to get into one of the professional clubs in the area and have them run some tests on you, some physiological parameters, and then we can begin a more educated program during this time of year, which you are, by the way, more likely to succeed in a program that is suited for you than you are just downloading something off the internet.
Okay, we got a question for you. We got Dennis on the line. Dennis, how you doing?
Good, how you doing?
Okay.
Steve, how's it going, man?
Good.
Good. Hey, quick question. I jumped in my car just as you were talking about Alabama strength and conditioning program.
Thank you.
I'll hang up and listen. Could you give a quick synopsis of what they do differently than, say, Big Ten or Pac-10 or whatever other schools don't do? I'm curious to hear what your assessment is. Thanks. I'll hang up and listen.
Okay. Well, first of all, what's been made available to the general public? And I told Earl this before. What we give out as strength conditioning coaches and interviews and things like that to the general public is one thing, but we ain't giving you the whole kit and caboodle. So all I can comment on is what the guy down there is talking about and what he puts out online. But the general difference is that this whole CrossFit thing, this whole CrossFit movement, Alabama was doing back when it wasn't fashionable. The strength and conditioning coach that came in there with Saban, he has believed in total body training, mixing in anaerobic conditioning at the highest level to fit, to physiologically mimic the rigors of the sport. Now, that doesn't mean that nobody else isn't doing that. Of course, there are other exercise physiologists. It's just that in terms of execution, they're doing it better than everybody else who talks about doing it. They're actually doing it. And you can see the difference in the product. Look at the way the guys look. Obviously, they're eating good. I don't think anybody's can say that those guys up front have missed a meal anytime soon. But, you know, you got a little bit of belly out there, but you also got mobility as it pertains to the other big guys that they're playing against. It's just a physiological difference when we look at them. And then I would like to see the testing results, too. That would also tell a lot about the difference in their program. But right now they're saying that they're pretty much doing a barbell clean which is a barbell clean at Maine, is a barbell clean at the University of Miami, is a barbell clean at Michigan State. They use the same type of leg presses that they use at Michigan State. They use the same type of leg presses that they use at Michigan. So another, from a technical standpoint, Birdsong, there isn't a real difference in terms of the equipment that they employ. It's the philosophical difference of that compliance ranks out above and beyond talking about doing it.
Okay, so that's good explanation, Steve, because we want to know, because everybody does something a little bit different, even though we know in general it may look like it's the same, but it really is a little bit different, isn't it?
It is, and you participated in programs where you watch me do things,
yes,
and you've been around for years, and you saw some stuff that, you know, that there was old stuff, but given a new spin, and you saw stuff that you hadn't seen before.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just in that context, Earl, you know, the vastness is immense, and the creativity of the strength and conditioning coach, given the types of athlete that he or she has, is what maximizes their potential at the end of the day. And that young and that strength and conditioning program down there is maxing out those guys every single year. They're in a max program, and I don't mean in terms of lifting. I mean in terms of stressing them out physiologically speaking as a whole organism. They're maxing out to get that kind of performance.
Okay, well that's great for them and great for us, and hopefully we here in Michigan, yes, hopefully we here in Michigan will move up that ladder. I know we're still in the lower half of the states that are in good shape, so hopefully we can move up into that first half.
Well, it's a little alarming, though, because when other people are, in our area are asked about these things, they always point to we're not getting the top recruits. So, they you know, it's about excuses before results, and that's a philosophical problem in terms of getting to a point where you're going to be successful every single year. In order to be successful every single year, there are no excuses. You just do it, and that's we're not at that mentality yet.
Okay, hey Steve, I want to thank you for joining me. Always a pleasure talking with you, my friend, and we'll talk with you again real soon. But stay tuned for more sports talk after this short break on AM 870. WKAR.
When mass shootings happen, like the ones in Tucson, Aurora, and Sandy Hook, experts work backwards to connect the dots. They hope to learn lessons that could prevent the next spree. Can violence like this ever be predicted? I'm Ari Shapiro. What we know and what we're still learning about forecasting violence and preventing it. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
And that's NPR News coming up at 3 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR.
Good afternoon. Mostly sunny skies for the rest of the afternoon today, highs in the upper 30s. Mostly clear tonight with lows in the mid-20s. Then for Thursday, mostly sunny until midday, then becoming partly sunny with highs in the lower 40s. Friday, some periods of rain until midday, then a chance of light drizzle by afternoon, highs in the lower 50s.
Well, Aaron, let me get your fingers to working because we've got a chance we've got to give away some tickets today. So we'll give you the numbers to call. Give us a call at area code 517-884-4783. That's 517-884-4783. We'll have tickets to give away to the Sunday game with Nebraska here at Michigan State. We'll have hockey tickets to give away for Friday and Saturday night against Notre Dame. So if you want to go to see Notre Dame on a Friday or a Saturday, or a hockey or a basketball game on Sunday, give us a call right here at area code 517-884-4783. 517-884-4783. We've got Steve back on the line, so let's bring Steve back in. Sorry, Steve, we got cut off there for a minute.
Oh, yeah, it's okay, Earl. I wanted to move on to sweating.
Uh-huh.
You know, one of our popular things here, I think Lou Holtz said it best. He said, no one has ever drowned in sweat.
Yeah, that's true.
But Alberto Salazar could have.
Uh-huh.
He has the highest recorded sweat rate for an athlete in any exercise situation since it's been recorded. He used to sweat, well, during the 1984 Summer Olympics, while training, He was recorded sweating 3.7 liters of fluid per hour during his marathon training sessions.
That's a lot of sweat.
Right, and to give that perspective, basketball players who are much larger than him on average only sweat 0.7 to 1.6 liters per hour. So how about that? Alberto was just drowning in sweat.
Yes, he was.
Yes, all the way to a gold medal, I think he won that year.
Yes, I always appreciate people that work hard. And I've often said that I appreciate the people that really work hard, because most people and youngsters, they don't understand how hard you have to work to get to where you would like to go to become successful. Most people just don't even have a clue at how hard they have to work.
No, we're not just talking about athletics. Though. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're, you know, just other positions, engineering, medicine, you know, law, et cetera, et cetera. You know, those that continue to put their best foot forward and legitimately work hard at perfecting their craft usually win out in the end. Mm-hmm. But here's another one. The sweat makes the grass green.
Yeah, I've heard that one.
Did you believe that?
I can
believe that. On the football field, you know, they were talking about that sometimes in the summer, the grass dies, and then when the guys come back for practice in the fall, in August, it pips back up again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that does happen.
Yep. Well, each human has approximately 2 to 4 million sweat glands, and they're located all over the surface of the human skin. And sweat consists of 99% water. So if you got 120 guys out there practicing, plus coaching staff and training staff sweating, I mean, that's a lot of water coming into the ground. They may have some.
Yeah, that's true. They may, and hopefully they'll keep going. But because we know people, they have to continue to work hard and work out. Some, as you know, sometimes I question that work ethic that people have. A lot of people say they work hard when they're really not working that hard.
No, and that misperception is what tends to hold them back. Mm-hmm. And also that misperception in a team environment is what lends to some of the disagreements, if I can, you know, extrapolate that out, that we're seeing with the Lakers and other teammate relationships. That misperception. Mr. Dwight Howard feels he's doing an adequate job. Mr. Bryant feels that he's not.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay? So, that once again, he thinks he's sweating and working hard. No, Dwight, that's just the lights, okay?
Yeah.
The lights are making you sweat, okay? That's what Kobe says.
And we know they're going to take Kobe's road because he's won too many pit championships.
I think I'm going to agree with Kobe on this one.
Yeah.
I got to go with the Black Mamba on this one.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything out of that man since his first or second season down with Orlando, to be honest with you. That impressed me. If you look at his physical well-being right now, he doesn't look nearly as loaded as he was when he was with Orlando. Now, granted, he has a torn labrum, give or take, you know, here and there. It probably was a rotator cuff strain that led to something else. People would hate to see it. It wouldn't agree with me. But Kobe's calling him out. And if they don't want to listen to him, then I don't know what else they need to hear. You know, he's not training. He's not doing what he needs to do. And part of it, like Stephen A. Smith would say, he's just not happy. Mm-hmm. And so when the athlete's not happy, they become demotivated. When they become demotivated, they're terrible to be around.
Hey, let me ask you this question, Steve, because it's always talked out. I mean, it comes up on this show from time to time. But why isn't, do you think, or what's your premise on why big guys can't shoot free throws?
Wow. It's called a quiet eye. I cannot believe you just asked me that. I just finished last week going through this over the holiday break with some of our guys, Anthony and Denzel and Annalise, actually. We were talking about free throw percentages, and I brought up this quiet eye, which is basically athletes have to learn to focus. And I know it sounds simple, but it's not. There's a lot of research that goes into it, and the quiet eye tells the quiet brain, and then you get perception And then that perception leads to action. And that action is 87% more accurate when the eye has what they call a gazing behavior, when it eliminates the gray matter around the object that is being focused on. And everybody doesn't do it. It's really simple, those that do. And a lot of things, technique is not as important as quieting down the eye movement during the moment before the execution of a skilled activity. It's fascinating. Our brain is such that it's a visual projector, and it falls into the center of the retina. And if it doesn't get there in a significant way without the gray, it's not processed in a privileged way, and that action is hindered.
Well, as you know, I asked you a large variety of questions today, Steve. One of those days where we just had it flowing pretty good.
Thanks, Earl. But but that's what we do. That's what I'm saying. See, I'm a strength and conditioning coach. You asked me about the eye. We have to know as much as possible to help the athlete get to the ultimate performance stage. Mm-hmm. And that's why I'll come right back to what we started with and what you left off with the other guy. Bama is amazing.
Yeah, they are. No doubt about
okay.
that.
Okay. You take care, Earl.
Okay, we'll talk to you later, Steve.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye. And that's Steve Morgan talking health and physical fitness right here on AM 870 WKAR. Hey, if you want to win tickets to Michigan State hockey or Michigan State basketball, give us a call at area code 517-884-4783. 517-884-4783. If you want to win tickets to Michigan State basketball coming up on Sunday at 6 o'clock or Michigan State hockey coming up Friday and Saturday. And that's 7:05. Michigan State's playing Notre Dame. So you have a chance to see Notre Dame a couple of days. And then you can see them and you can see the basketball team coming up on Sunday. So a lot of sports in store for you today. So just give us a call, talk sports with us, and you just might win yourself a pair of tickets or two. But give us a call right now and register for your chance to win tickets. Area code 517-884-4873. 517-884-4873. And that's the tickets, and that's the number to win tickets to MSU basketball or MSU hockey. We try to give tickets away to each and every person we can. Remember, if you've already won, please do not call in. We want to give as many people the chance to win tickets as they have. If you already won hockey or basketball tickets, don't call. You can call in at the other sport that you haven't won. But say, for example, you've already won hockey tickets, well, just call in the basketball tickets and you can win basketball tickets. Or if you've won basketball tickets and haven't won hockey tickets, you can call in and win some hockey tickets. But we want to give as many people a chance to win tickets here on AM 870. So once again, the number is to call 517-884-4783. That's 517-884-4783 for your chance to win basketball or hockey tickets right here on AM 870. A lot of things going on right here on WKAR, and we'll continue telling you on what's going on in the sport, and we'll tell you about the Pistons, and of course, we've got the coming up at 2 o'clock. We're not here at 2 o'clock, but unfortunately, they'll have the release if anybody makes it into the Baseball Hall of Fame, and we'll find that out shortly, and we'll pass that on to you, but we'll find that out. Will anybody make it in the Baseball Hall of Fame? Once again, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for calling. You've been listening to Michigan State University Radio, WKAR East Lansing. We come your way Monday through Friday from 1:05 to 2 o'clock right here on AM 870 WKAR. So come back and join us tomorrow. Have yourself a very safe and pleasant evening. And I'll hear from you tomorrow on AM 870 WKAR East Lansing.
Thanks for listening to Sports Talk with Earl Robinson from AM 870 WKAR.